This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. My name is Andy Herman. Thanks so much for making the Pack-A-Day Radio Show part of your daily routine Monday through Friday right here on The Fan. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next right here from 9 to 11. Also coming up on March 1st is an event that you will surely want to attend. Mason and his wife, Molly Crosby, who is a cancer survivor, will be awarded the prestigious Award of Excellence from the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation. If you'd like to be a part of the Black Tie event, simply go to LombardiFoundation.org and check that out. Going to be an awesome event. Really excited for Mason and Molly on that one. We are now joined, however, by the one and only Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. You can find him on his YouTube channel as well, aptly named the Paul Bredel YouTube channel. You can find him on social media, also aptly named at @Paul_Bredel. Paul, it is great to be back chatting with you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, Andy. Happy to be talking Packers football with you once again.
It is always a joy. What we've been doing over the last 20 minutes or so, Paul, is looking back at that Packers-Aaron Rodgers trade and what Green Bay was ultimately able to do because of it. It has obviously not worked out for the Jets quite as well. It has certainly set them back probably a handful of years, to say the least. Just really quick, we don't obviously have to go into it in too much detail here, Paul, but what was your analysis and kind of thought process on the trade at the time, and do you feel any differently about it today?
No, I think it was one of those things where everyone could feel that it was time, right? It was time for the Packers to go in the new direction. It's time for Aaron Rodgers to go in a new direction. And reflecting on it now, obviously we've seen how the last two seasons have played out. And I know we can look at how the last season ended for the Packers, right? The inconsistency in the passing game, the lackluster pass rush. But what Brian Gutekunst has done over the last 2 years in terms of that transition from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, and not just in that respect, but really shifting, reshaping this whole roster, going younger, and just how quickly that turnaround happened. I mean, in 1 year, they were back in the playoffs, won a playoff game. They jumped to 11 wins this season. And I was looking through this article over at CBS Sports, and it kind of recapped the trickle-down effect of where we are now with that Aaron Rodgers trade. And while not all these players were directly associated with picks that they got from the Jets, other trades were made. Some players like Edrin Cooper, Jacob Monk, Lucas Van Ness, Luke Musgrave, Evan Williams are all in some connection a product of the draft picks that the Packers received in return for trading away Aaron Rodgers. So, again, I know we're always looking ahead, what's next, how can this team improve, but I don't think it should be lost how quickly this transition happened for the Packers in terms of getting back into being a playoff contender.
Yeah, it's really well said, and it certainly overall worked out very well for Green Bay. It's certainly a lot better than it worked out for the New York Jets, to say the least. One of the main things I wanted to talk with you today, Paul, was about the look at the play-action game that you kind of took a look at recently, and you did a great job of kind of re-evaluating the 2024 play-action game. It wasn't quite what we have been used to expecting from Green Bay. So what did you find as you were kind of studying the play-action game from 2024? What went wrong? Maybe some things that went right, and what do they maybe need to correct in 2025?
Yeah, I know a big topic of conversation last year was, are the Packers doing enough play action? And if you look at PFF's metrics, Pro Football Reference's metrics, the Packers were in the bottom half, bottom third even of the NFL in terms of play action usage. But by Green Bay's own metrics, and Matt LaFleur said this after the season, how they view what a play action play is, they finished third in terms of play action usage last season. So that element, the utilization of it, I don't think was a major issue, but their effectiveness off of it was. You know, there's two big things we expect from play action: an increased efficiency for the quarterback and an increase in big play opportunities off of those plays. And we didn't see that. By Pro Football Focus metrics, Jordan Love's completion percentage was actually 3% less off of play action versus non-play action plays. His yards per pass attempt increased by only 1.2 yards, which ranked 29th out of 44 eligible quarterbacks last season. We did not see that increased efficiency, big play ability that you expect with play action. And as always, got to give the disclaimer, there's so much that goes into this. It's never one thing. It's never even two things. But what I did focus on in that article at ESPNLacrosse.com was what was different between 2023 and 2024. And one big difference was the run game. The Packers ran out of shotgun much more frequently than they did in 2023. And Matt LaFleur said, again, after the season, they were just a much more efficient, much more effective running game out of shotgun. So when we look at the utilizing play action out of shotgun, you know, the trickle-down effect of that is, where is the spacing? If you're naturally in shotgun, you're spreading out the defense, there might be more natural running lanes for you to attack in the running game. However, on the back end, the defense is going to be more prepared because they're spread out, prepared for shotgun to better handle a passing play versus if you're under center, you got a tight end in line. Now everyone's closer to line of scrimmage. There may be more opportunities on the back end. So I do think that was one factor. I think another element to it as well is we saw a much more gap-heavy running scheme from the Packers with Josh Jacobs going between the tackles rather than that traditional Matt LaFleur outside zone where you're getting the offensive lineman on the move, you're getting the running back outside the tackles. And I think there's a trickle-down effect there as well. For one, the ability, the concepts that you can run from outside zone versus gap scheme are far greater. There's more variability in what you can dial up from a play-action standpoint, not in just the play call, but what do you have Jordan Love doing? What is the pass protection that the offensive line's doing? So I think that that was a factor as well. And of course, we can talk about the receivers and the struggles that they had. Jordan Love's injury and the Packers not being able to go under center as much. There's a lot of factors at play, but those two first elements, the running from shotgun and the more gap-heavy scheme, are a very, very noticeable difference from 2023 to what we saw this past season. I think one of the big things on Matt LaFleur's to-do list this offseason is determine what kind of rushing offense do we want to be. Are we going to continue to lean into this gap scheme, shotgun rushing offense because Josh Jacobs is really good out of it? Are we going to see the pendulum swing back in the other direction, more under center, more outside zone? And of course, I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think it's striking a better balance between the two.
You are listening to the wise words of Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. Of course, you can find him at Paul_Bredel as well. So in your estimation, Paul, what is like the solution? Is there a middle ground here? Do they maybe try a little bit more pistol to kind of be able to run a little bit more of that, you know, kind of traditional play action-ish, but not maybe specifically be under center? Do you figure out a play action game that works better out of shotgun? Do you try to get Josh Jacobs more acclimated to the under center run game? Like, where is that middle ground, and how do you make it so that that play action game can be more effective in 2025?
I mean, not to cop out to the question, but I think it's a little bit of all that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's finding a mesh between everything you just mentioned and what that balance is, because I don't think it's going to be one or the other. You do tend to, in some respects, pigeonhole yourself. I do think there has to be absolutely more under center from the Packers this upcoming season. And again, Jordan Love's injury was obviously a big, big part of that for the first half of the season. I think we need more of that outside zone running scheme. And LaFleur talked about how they adjusted both of those elements this season because Josh Jacobs, the offensive line, was finding success, again, between the tackles, out of shotgun. And that's what you want, right? If you find something that's working, you want to lean into that, which Green Bay did. But again, I think there's more of a balance between the two that the Packers can find because, again, the play-action component is a big element of Matt LaFleur's offense and just NFL offenses in general. You look at some of the top scoring offenses in the game, they also had some of the most efficient quarterbacks off of play action as well. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, you go down the list. So it's an important element. It increases efficiency. It increases big playability. So that's going to getting that factor, that element back on track, I think is going to be an important part to just the overall offensive success in 2025. And again, I think it's a little bit everything. They have to strike that balance, but I think the pendulum has to swing back more towards where they were in 2023.
You're listening to Paul Bredel right here on the Packaday Radio Show. I wonder if a piece of this, it can't be all of it, but I wonder if a piece of this can be Marshawn Lloyd. I think Marshawn Lloyd fits their more traditional running game in a very Aaron Jones sense. And I think you obviously can't have it just be that because then it becomes a tell of like, oh, Marshawn Lloyd's in, be careful of the play action. They like to run it a lot when he's in, etc. But I do wonder if you can't get some of the zone, you know, running game, the stretch plays, the bootlegs, the play action off of some of that with him in the game. If he can take that step in 2025, he would seem to fit that a little bit better. And I wonder if that might be able to be a piece of that as well.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I did a positional preview for the offensive side of the ball, and when discussing the running back position, I highlighted two areas where the Packers could improve. And again, run game was obviously very good for them last season, but two areas where they were lacking, for lack of a better term, was the running back's presence in the passing game. I believe Josh Jacobs, in terms of targets, ranked 29th, 30th in the NFL among running backs. He was somewhere in that range. And then no other running backs, Chris Brooks or Emmanuel Wilson, even registered among eligible running backs in that regard. And Marshawn Lloyd, Matt LaFleur talked about his ability to help out the offense in the passing game, being a dual threat back out of the backfield. The other area where I think the run game can improve is their ability to churn out explosive plays. You know, Josh Jacobs was excellent at creating something out of nothing. We saw that so much last season, picking up 4, 5, 6 yards. But when it came to generating the explosive 15, 20-yard runs, there wasn't the same efficiency for the Packers offense as there was for some of the other top rushing offenses out there. And again, Marshawn Lloyd, I think back to training camp. When you see the ball in his hands, his burst, his juice, his ability to change directions is incredibly impressive. Like, out there among other NFL players, it is different. That stands out. So I think he can help out the offense in that regard as well.
I don't say this lightly, and I want to be very careful in saying I don't think he actually is better than, but there were days at practice where Marshawn Lloyd looked like the best running back in training camp. And again, that's not to say he's going to be better than Jacobs or he's going to be this great NFL player. I'm just saying there were days where it definitely looked like he was the most talented back out there, which is hopefully very exciting for Packers fans moving forward. You spoke of those Packers positional previews. I know you went through, did you finish the defense yet, or has it just been mostly offense and a couple defensive positions?
Just offense and one defensive position.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure. Just as you've kind of been going through them so far, I obviously don't want you to spoil the entire series here. I want people to have to, or not have to, but want to go out and read that. But anything that stood out to you as you've kind of been going through the offensive and a couple of those defensive positional previews so far?
Yeah, at the receiver position, I know obviously the focus right now is on the wide, do the Packers need a wide receiver run? Who do they need to go out and add? And I just think the opportunity for them to add to the receiver room is really small. And the reason that I say that is because this is a position where you either take a massive swing and you spend a first round, maybe a second round pick on the position, or you sign one of the few top flight options in free agency, or you probably just leave the position alone. And the reason I say that is because the Packers, they don't need another number two, number three option, right? They have a lot of players on the roster who can be that. So they don't need someone else of that mold on the roster. They either need to go and get a top target, or one of the players on the roster needs to elevate to that. So I think the opportunity to add that window, it's really, really small in terms of what the Packers need. One other thing I'll add on the receiver position, they have to find a vertical presence while Christian Watson is out. There's no one else on the roster who can add what he does to the offense in that regard. And that ability for the defense to even be mindful, concerned about getting beat over the top, drastically changes how they defend your offense, spaces them out, creates more opportunities underneath, in the run game, over the middle, all those different factors. So the Packers do have to find someone who can stretch the field. And that doesn't, and in the draft, that can be a middle round pick. In free agency, that doesn't have to be a top dollar option, but that specific skill set does have to be filled. Last thing I'll mention is just the offensive line play. I think this is a very, very much under the radar need. We know Josh Myers is a free agent this offseason. They have options on the roster to take over for him, whether it's Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk, Elton Jenkins. But we look ahead 1 year from now, and don't forget, everyone, the draft is about planning ahead. Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, and Rasheen Walker are all free agents in 2026. And the only thing I think we can say, with as much as we can in today's NFL with certainty, is that Zach Tom's going to be back. We don't know about anyone else. So I think often we see seeing Gutekunst over and over and over add to it, but I think that's very much a much greater need than at least what I've seen has been talked about. Because again, from a planning ahead standpoint, improving the depth that we saw was taken advantage of in the playoffs against Philadelphia, which to their credit, they do to most teams. But I think those are facets that have to be addressed this offseason.
Yeah, and it would not stun me at all if Green Bay took three offensive linemen in the upcoming draft for that very reason. Just depth, competition, needing guys next year as guys become free agents. It's a very interesting position. Going back to wide receiver for just a moment, as you've been looking at some of these deep, threat wide receivers, it's really interesting. The draft is not exactly stocked full of them. You look at free agency and, you can kind of get into like the Darius Slayton, which I'm not sure necessarily going to move the needle all that much for people. You get like the MVS on a 1 year deal, which again, I'm not sure people are going to be super thrilled about. There's not like that 1A guy. There's of course the, trade for DK Metcalf. Okay. If that would be an option, if you could somehow make it work, but it's what I've been having the most trouble with is I've been going through offensive line, wide receiver, jerk corner. I can find corners, I can find offensive linemen, I can find pass rushers that make sense for Green Bay. It has been the hardest for me to figure out where do they go at wide receiver to kind of fill that gap that they have. Have you come across anyone that is kind of caught your fancy or that kind of makes sense to you, whether it be trade, free agency, or the draft?
At the receiver position, not specifically. I'm in a similar boat as you are. And as far as the draft goes, I'm still in the early process of diving into the receiver group. But I think, like you said, Marquez Valdes-Scantling obviously would make the most sense from just a pure skill set standpoint. But adding on to what you said, in terms of filling this receiver need. Like you said, to go out and get a wide receiver one, there's obviously not many of those guys. And from a pure skill set standpoint, I mean, this room that they already have is already so diverse in that regard. Like, they have guys who can fill a wide variety of roles that again, limits without trying to duplicate who you already have on the roster from a skill set standpoint, what you can add to that room. So it's a very, very niche position that they have to try to, you know, squeeze between the goalposts and add to. But that vertical presence in some capacity, maybe whether it's someone else on the offense taking on that role, they need that because there's such a massive trickle-down effect. When defenses don't respect that ability, that makes everything else within the offense so much more difficult.
We're being joined by Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. You can also find him on the Paul Bredel YouTube channel. Paul, a couple quick ones before we get you out of here. As we get into this free agency and trade period, have you, since it is Valentine's Day, have you developed a free agent or trade crush yet that you're really hoping Green Bay goes out and acquires as we get into this offseason period?
Well, for me, in terms of position group to address, I would love if they just went out and got a heavy hitter along the defensive front, like I'm sure everyone would. And the reason that I say that is because I just think there's obviously the impact that, you know, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, or even a free agent like Osa Idizua could bring to the offense by just their own impact, right? Filling the stat sheet on their own. But when you have a really, really good interior defender or defensive end, there's a massive trickle-down effect that everybody else on the field benefits from that player. There's the attention that they draw that can create opportunities for other defensive linemen. There's the pressure that they can create that means less time in coverage for the defensive back. It could create turnover opportunities. There's the ability to slow the run that puts the offense behind the sticks, and now they're in a predictable passing situation where the defense has the advantage. I just would really love to see a high-end player added to that position group for that reason, because the impact, it's multiple. All other 10 defenders on the field benefit from that type of player. Now, having said that, what I think the Packers are going to do, my gut feeling is they're going to address that position in the draft. And again, not to say they can't find that player in the draft, but the reason that I say that is because this year's draft class along the defensive front is absolutely loaded. I saw Daniel Jeremiah tweet out that 16 of his top 50 prospects play along the defensive line. So just from a pure standpoint and how the Packers obviously want to build their roster, I feel like that's the way they're going to go. My gut feeling is if they're going to take a swing in free agency and spend some premium salary cap dollars on a position, my guess would be it would be cornerback over receiver or the defensive line position. And the reason that I think that is because it's not just added talent that they need at that position group, they need depth as well. So I think the need is twofold, to be heightened, and knowing that you have the ability in the draft to get a really high-end defensive lineman, I feel like that's going to be the, you know, the calculus that leads to the eventual decisions that we see made during free agency and in the draft.
You're telling me that the Packers are going to look at one of their biggest needs and build through the draft? Paul, I've heard everything. That's never happened before. probably a 1,000,000% right. Really quick before we get you out of here, I know you and I get to talk Packers a lot. I know you're also a Brewers fan. We're on in Milwaukee. Pitchers and catchers reported this week. What are your expectations for this Brewers season coming up?
I'm excited. I saw the Brewers a couple days ago post a video of Contreras doing some BP and just the crack of the bat. Man, it gets you excited for the upcoming season. But you know, my expectations is what it's been for the last few years. You expect the Brewers to compete for a NL Central title. We know that they have pitching depth. They're obviously really good at getting the most out of their pitchers. But of course, the big question mark is going to be the third base position, right? And who's going to make up for the production, whether it's one player stepping up for losing Willy Adames. But each offseason, we kind of seem to have these moments where you wonder what's next for the Brewers, but they always find a way to pull through and be a competitive team.
Paul, you're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
I appreciate it, Andy. Head over to ESPNLacrosse.com. Find me on YouTube at Paul Bredel and follow me on Twitter at Paul_Bredel.
We will make sure to do so. Paul, we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
You bet. Have a great weekend. All right, when we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls in to the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. How would you grade the Aaron Rodgers trade in hindsight for Green Bay? This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Jackson Crosby. But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.